All right, I would ask you to take your Bibles and turn to 1 Kings. And I'm only going to share just for a little bit tonight because I want us to have time to be together. 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter 19. Elijah has been used of God to bring a great victory. You remember the story of Elijah and the 450 prophets of Baal. So God has used Elijah and spoken through Elijah to bring a great victory. You would suppose that after God moved in such a great way and this man of God saw the great hand of God, that he would have the world by the tail, as it were. He wouldn't have any concerns, any worries. He's seen the power of God. And from our perspective, I think a lot of times we would think, well, you know what? If anybody's ready to be used of God, even in a greater sense, it would be a man like Elijah. It's interesting, though, that right after this great victory that God gave Elijah, that the queen at that time, a lady by the name of Jezebel, begins to threaten him. And then what we see Elijah doing, he runs from this woman. We find him in a place of seeking God. After a great victory, we see that Elijah has a need for something. And I would say this is true whether we're talking about victory, whether we're talking about defeat, or whether we're talking about just maybe even our mundane existence. We just living day to day and, you know, doing what we do in life. There's a great need that we have. And that need is we need to hear from God. When it comes to our prayer lives, most of us have little trouble telling God things. We have a lot of trouble taking time to listen to God. And so I want to use the experience of Elijah here to maybe just speak to this concern that I think we all have. It's a universal concern. I'm going to read verses 11 through 18. Here's what it says. It says, "Then he said, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. So it was, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. And suddenly a voice came to him and said, what are you doing here, Elijah? And he said, I've been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life. Then the Lord said to him, go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when you have arrived, anoint Hazael as king over Syria. Also you shall anoint Jehu, the son of Nimshi, as king over Israel, and Elisha, the son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah, you shall anoint as a prophet in your place. It shall be that whoever escapes the sword of Hazael, Jehu will kill, and whoever escapes the sword of Jehu, Elisha will kill. Yet I have reserved 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him." What I want you to do with me tonight is I want you to think of maybe in a whole new ways for your prayer life. At least a place for us to start as a church. This is a corporate prayer time. We need to hear from the Lord. But we can't hear from the Lord if we're not willing to listen to the Lord. Sometimes our prayer life becomes an activity, and we talk too much. We talk too much. And it basically becomes a one-sided thing that we're involved in. We're telling God this whole litany of things. And again, I'm not saying we can't do that. He says we can bring our requests, and we can share our hearts, and we can do all those things. Those are the privilege we have in prayer. But how do we know where and how to go to God with the different issues of life unless first we listen to God? And so our exercise tonight as a church is to begin to listen to God and ask God to give us ears to listen to Him in prayer. to listen. Because until we hear from God, we can't know where to go as a people. Until we hear from God, we can't know what God wants to do with this church. I can't even act, you and I can't even act in faith unless first we hear from God. Because remember how we describe faith? Faith is our response to what? God's initiative. Most of the time, our exercise, what we call faith, is we go to God with an issue, we share that issue with God, we assume God has given us the answer to the issue, whether he has or not, I'm not disputing that, and then we act upon our assumption, because, can we be honest, 9 times out of 10, we've already decided what we want before we even go to God in prayer. What we want in prayer so many times is confirmation from the Father. We don't want to hear from the Father. So we spend a lot of time talking. It becomes about us. And we think, you know, it's kind of like what Jesus warned about certain kinds of prayers. He says, with your many words, you think that you are heard. We've got to hear from God first. And so, look at this picture with me. Verse 11 begins by God speaking to Elijah. And it begins by him telling Elijah to do something. Everybody in here, I believe, as I look around, is a born-again Christian. Am I correct? Everybody profess that? Okay. That being true, here's something that is true. One time in your life, at least one time in your life, you've heard from God. At least one time in your life, God has spoken to your heart and you heard him. Because if that wasn't true, you could not be a born-again Christian. Nobody comes to faith just because we're wise or spiritual or good. God would have had to speak. God the Holy Spirit would have to speak into your life and you would have had to respond to him. That's how it works. That's the only way it works. So we have, I want you to get this, we have heard the call of God the same way that Elijah on that mountain heard the call of God. Now, for everybody in here who has heard the call of God at least one time, here's what I know is eternally true. Your response to that hearing from the call of God one time was the greatest thing that ever happened to your life. It was the greatest thing that ever happened to your life. Holy Spirit spoke to you. He convicted you of your sin. He convinced you that Jesus Christ was the Messiah. You put your faith and trust in Jesus. He forgave you of your sin. He's given you everlasting life. You heard from God and look what the result was. You can't get any better than that. But too often what we do as Christians, once we've heard from God, in that, responded to God because he spoke to us first, then it's kind of like for the rest of our Christian experience, it's move over, God, I got a lot to tell you. And we become in charge. If the greatest thing that ever happened in our human experience is that when we heard from God, we received eternal life, forgiven sin, because we heard from God, how come we didn't learn from that? Think about your own prayer life now. How much of it is you speaking and how much do you actually listen to God? I mean, actually listen to God. Now, I know some have the tendency to think that they're listening to God and then they have to be the one that's speaking what they think God is saying to them. But it's still talking. It's still verbalizing many times what's in the heart of the individual rather than in the heart of God. Here's what I have a tendency to believe about corporate prayer. If God has called us to this, then he's going to speak to us as a body. There's going to be a lot of confirmation going on as this happens. But if we get busy tonight and all we do is start talking to God about what we think ought to happen here at First Baptist, what ought to happen in Fountain Hills, how our church ought to look, what God needs to do here, who needs God to do certain things in his life. I always wonder how many times do we pray for somebody or do we actually pray about somebody? I wonder how often our prayer turns into gossip rather than really desiring for God to work in someone's life. You've heard from God, and the result of you hearing from God is the greatest thing that could ever happen to you. God, help us to see that great pattern there. Where we heard from you initially, we need to hear from you all the time because the result of hearing from God in the life of a believer will be far greater. What'd Paul say? Now unto him who is able to do what? Exceedingly abundantly more than we can ever ask. You don't realize many times our asking things from God limits what's going to happen in our life? We can't perceive anything more than that. And Paul wants to know, God can do exceedingly abundantly more than we could ever ask or even imagine. If that's true, and I do believe it's true, then God doesn't need me to guide Him in this exercise of prayer. What He needs me is to be open to Him in prayer. Right? So we see the reality is that we've all heard from God. And you all have a great testimony because you heard from God. Isn't that wonderful? So let's get back to that pattern where we desire to hear from God first. All right. The second thing we see in this passage that I just want to draw your attention to is that we need to be careful about all the confusing and expected voices. Look what happens here. He hears from God. God takes him to this place. And then all of a sudden, as he's standing on this mountain before the Lord, it's what it say. There's a great and strong wind that comes along. Okay, God must... here's our reaction. Wow, we're here gathered. There's a great strong wind. God, that must be God. But no, that wasn't God. Well, the next thing that happens there after the great and strong wind, it says, after the wind there was an earthquake. Well, if it's not the wind blowing, it's certainly got to be the ground shaking. And again, it wasn't the earthquake. The Lord was not in the earthquake. Well, what's the third thing that happens here? A fire. A fire from where? Certainly a fire appears and out of nowhere, it must be God doing something wonderful. And yet, the scripture says, but it wasn't God in the fire. Three, what we would consider extraordinary, maybe even supernatural responses from God. If God's going to move, in our mind, He's got to move in a way that like this. Yet what did He teach His prophet? He taught His prophet to hear His voice. Not external stimuli, and assume because there's a bunch of external stimuli, it's God. I hear Christians say this all the time. This thing happened in my life, and I didn't expect it to happen in my life, so it must be God. Why would we make such an assumption? Why do we do that? We use terms like, well, if something's going to happen, God's going to open a door. How do you know that? I'm not saying that God doesn't open doors. He does. But so often we make decisions by the external stimuli that we see. Well, this door opened, it must be from God. This thing happened, it must be from God. God doesn't want us to react to things. God wants us to react to His voice. Because the fourth thing that happened to the prophet was this, what? But God spoke in what? A still small voice. That's where Elijah heard God. In a very personal, intimate way. He heard the voice of God. We've lost the sense of this. Now we can spend some time in prayer tonight and I can be saying, okay, let's seek to hear from God tonight, church. And we could pray for the 20 minutes or so that I'm hoping at least we'll do tonight. And you may not hear a thing. God, I gave you 20 minutes. I didn't hear a thing. If you think it's going to happen tonight, now I'm going to tell you it's not going to happen tonight. I wouldn't tell you that a second Pentecost couldn't happen tonight. But again, when I say, God, I'm going to give you this much time, whether it be 20 minutes, whether it be 20 hours, whether it be 20 years. God, I'm listening. I'm listening. There ought to never be a time that we stop listening. Do not just respond to the expected. The expected. I've been in churches before, and they weren't Baptist churches, but I've been in churches before that were of the more charismatic bent than we are. And people would begin, in these places that I was at, they'd begin to speak in tongues. People would begin to interpret. It's an interesting thing that the interpretation was always something just wonderful. You have things going on in the church that are just contrary to God, and you have God saying, you know, it's almost like in the Old Testament times where the people would listen to the prophets who say everything's going to be good, and the people would hate the prophets that say, you know what, you got to get your life right, you got to open your ears to God, you got to hear from God. Don't just listen for the expected. And don't just listen or respond to what you think is outward stimuli and say, well, this happened after I prayed, so it must be of God. Desire to hear the voice of God. You say, well, Pastor, I don't know when that's going to happen. Well, I don't either. And Pastor, I don't know what that sounds like. And I'm going to say to you, I don't either. But I do know when it happens, it's not so much of me recognizing an audible voice as much as it is exactly what I drew your attention to first. When God moved in my heart to come to salvation, there was no doubt in my mind it was God. There was no doubt. And I couldn't tell you what the sound was like so many years from then. I couldn't tell you what the feeling was like. But I really don't have any doubt if God's people begin to seek Him and say, God, we need to hear from You, and we're going to keep quiet until we hear from You. And remember, quiet does not mean, I'm not saying we don't vocalize, God, we need to hear from You. It's the quiet part is again going back in that mode of telling God what you want, what you expect Him to do. But to call out to God and say, God, we need You. I'm not just saying we don't say anything. So when God begins to move, please don't assume that if something automatically happens, that it's automatically of God. It may be or it may not be. But God, who will lead us in His light, will reveal whether or not this thing is of Him or is not. I don't know how to explain it any more than that. And maybe we're going to have to go through some of this to experience it before we begin to understand it. There's a lot of things we've got to experience in our walk with God before we even understand it. All right, the third thing I want to draw your attention to, look there, it's in the last part of verse 12. And again, it declares that God spoke to him in a still, small voice. So I just want to restate what we want, what I hope that we desire, is to hear the voice of God. And I believe if God knows it, that is our heart, and we are steadfast in that desire, I don't believe God plays games with us. I believe He is our loving Heavenly Father. He loves us as His children, but I also believe that He is our God and our Savior, who wants to guide us into all truth and reveal Himself to us and glorify Himself through us. And how do we know if we're on the right path? The only way we can know, okay, is if we hear the voice of God. And here's what I mean by that. There's not a verse that says specifically, First Baptist Church of Fountain Hills, here's what I want you to do. Now, there are many verses that will say generally what ought to be true of every church. Praying church, discipling, evangelistic. I mean, we can talk about those things. But I believe He has something specific for this church, the same way I believe that He has something specific for my life and something specific for your life. Do you know when God has moved you? Do you know that God has put you somewhere? You know, sometimes we think pastors have this special sense that they know exactly where God wants them to be. The hardest thing I've ever done as a pastor is move from one church to another. The hardest thing that I've ever done is try to discern that it is God's will for me to do that. And I've always tried not to move. After my first move, I was too much a baby to make the right decisions then. After my first move is not to move until I was convinced that God had said, this is what I have for you. And then to trust God with whatever happens after that. But I believe he wants to be that specific with each one of us. So we have to desire, like Elijah, to hear the voice of God. And then the last thing, and then we're going to sing, and then I want to do something after that. So, and it's a reminder, verse 13 and 14, where it talks about what God was going to tell Elijah to do and was going to continue to use Elijah. And it goes back to the essence of what I want to share with you tonight. By the way, I got this thought from Jennifer Kennedy Dean, in the one the ladies just did. restores my soul. And this is a thought. She begins that book with this, and it's just so important to me after we had done the prayer study. Begins this thought with a quote, and she says something like this, and I can't do it exactly, but I'll give you the essence of it. We are not ready to speak to God until first we are ready to listen to God. We think prayer is something we offer up to God, rather than it being like every other Christian discipline where the Holy Spirit must work through us in order for us to be involved in what God wants us to be involved in. Who's your leader in prayer? It's not you. Your leader in prayer needs to be the Holy Spirit. Okay? Just like we talk about worship, needs to be the Holy Spirit. Service needs to be the Holy Spirit. Teaching needs to be the Holy Spirit. Prayer, it needs to be the Holy Spirit. And most of our prayer starts off with us. And she reminded me in that thing, which brought me to this thought for what we're going to do tonight, is that we are not ready to speak to God about all the things that we think we need to speak to Him about until we're first ready to listen to God. And that's where I want us to begin. All right? Linda, why don't you lead us in a couple of the song, and then after that I just want to share what we're going to do. Okay?